Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Praise God. Well, the Lord is good. How many people know that by now? We don't confuse the Lord with the devil. The Lord is good. He's good, and he's not confused about what the word good means. And we shouldn't be confused about what the word good means. Somebody walks up to you and slashes your tire. Would you turn around and say, well, that could be good. That could be something good in disguise. You would never say, you know, a car wreck or something like that is a good thing, would you? And yet somehow in the church world, you know, religion will warp your brain. Religion will cause your mind just not to think right. And it's amazing in the world of religion, you know, people will turn around and they'll say, evil is good. They'll say, that evil thing that happened, it really wasn't evil. See, because God in his sovereignty, you know, he does these things and we don't understand God. It looks evil to us, but it's really a good thing in disguise. And when we get into eternity, we find out it was really a good thing all the while. No, God's not confused about what good is. And the same thing you would call good, the same thing you would call a blessing, God calls good and God calls a blessing. And we know that, and you see that in the scriptures. I mean, you go to Deuteronomy 28, it talks about the curses and the blessing. What God considers a curse and what God considers a blessing. If you read any of the curses, you will agree these are all curses. You wouldn't say, well, I don't know, that's kind of a blessing. You wouldn't do that. And then you come over and you look at all the blessings, all the good things, and you would recognize this is a blessing. This is good. I would like to have this happening in my life. Okay? So God's definition of good, what is good, what's a blessing, and what's evil, what's of the devil, is the same definition you and I would have. All right? So we don't have to be confused about it. God's will for your life is good. He's got a good will for your life. He wants your life to be good. He's not trying to make your life hard to try to teach you something. Life is hard enough without God's help. Happy to know we make it plenty hard enough ourselves without God having to jump in and help. We don't need God's help in making our life hard. We do a really good job ourselves in making our life hard. So God's not trying to make things hard for us. God's trying to make things lighter and easier. That's what Jesus said. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He's trying to make things lighter and easier. And he wants us to enjoy good success in life. And that's why he says over here in Joshua chapter 1. Why don't we just go there? Joshua, the first chapter, in verse 8, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Basically, what he's saying there is that his word, the word of God, which we call today the Bible, is to be a part of our life. It's something we're thinking about all the time. It's something we're speaking. It's in our heart, it's in our minds, it's in our mouth. God's word is a part of our life. It's not a little supplement to our life. God's word is not to be a little supplement to our life. It's to be our life. It's to be our daily bread. It's the spiritual food that we eat every day. It's what we live off of. All right? It's our strength in life. It's the thing that supplies us with everything that we need in life. Amen? So that's what he's saying there. He's saying you shall meditate in it day and night. For then, what's going to happen if you do that? For then you will make your way prosperous. And then you will have good success. You will make your way prosperous and have good success. God wants you to be prosperous. God wants you to have good success in life. Hallelujah. He wants it. That's what he wants for you and I. And how's that going to happen? He's going to bring it to pass through us. That's how it's going to happen. God's just not going to just drop success on us. God is going to bring success through us. See, a lot of times folks are waiting for God to do something for them. God, when are you going to do this for me? And in doing that, they completely miss God. Because they shouldn't be looking for God to do something for them. They should be looking for God who is now living in them through what is called the new birth. Through being born again, the Holy Spirit of God is living in us. We shouldn't just be looking for him now out here to do something for us, but for him to do things through us, which means we're going to yield to him. He's going to use our thoughts. He's going to use our mouth to speak things that need to be spoken. And so as we meditate in his word, we're going to find ourselves yielding to him, and so that his thoughts are going to become our thoughts. He's going to begin to speak through our lips. He's going to work through our hands. He's going to walk through our legs through this earth, and he is going to bring about good success through our lives. So it's all about learning of him and surrendering ourselves to him, yielding to him, and allowing the greater one who lives on the inside of us to do great things through us. He is the greater one. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You got greatness on the inside of you. You got God on the inside of you. It don't get any greater than that. So he's living on the inside of you and I, and now it's all a matter of allowing him to come forth out of us, kind of like a seed. You know, you think about seeds. You take a seed and you plant it in the ground. And over time, what begins to happen? The life that is in that seed germinates and begins to grow. Begins to break through the soil and begins to grow up and begin to produce whatever is in the seed. Well, glory to God, you and I are like seeds. And we got the greater one. We got eternal life. We got the life of God on the inside of us. Just why don't you just say, the greater one is living in me. The life of God is in me. Greatness is in me. Yeah. So what should your life produce? Greatness. Hallelujah. I mean, the potential of God himself is in you. Just like the potential for wheat is inside a grain of wheat. Right? I mean, you plant a seed, a tomato seed. The potential for tomatoes are in the seed. But nobody's going to eat tomatoes until that seed gets planted. Now, we know that seeds have a shell around them. And so before the seed, when it's planted, actually breaks through the earth and grows up, it's got to break through that shell. Isn't that right? It's got to break through that shell. And you and I have a shell around the spiritual life that is in us. And it is what the Bible refers to as our outer man. There's an inner man and there's an outer man. We see that over in 2 Corinthians. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians 4. Don't you want the potential of God that's on the inside of you to come forth out of your life? That's what's supposed to happen. Everything he is in you. In the person of the Holy Spirit. Everything God is, he is in you and I, his children, his people. And so he wants to come forth. He wants to manifest his goodness. He wants to manifest his life. He wants to manifest his wisdom. He wants to manifest his power, his strength through us, for us and for the world around us. That's how God is going to reach the world. That's how he's going to reach other people. That's how he's going to bring a healing to the nations. That's how he's going to deliver people. He's going to do it through people that yield to him. People in whom he has placed himself inside of. He's in us. And if he's in us in such a powerful way, if God in all his fullness is living on the inside of us, then why don't we see more of him. It's because of this outer shell that hasn't been fully broken through. That outer shell is the greatest hindrance to our success in life. Other people are not the greatest hindrance. The devil is not the greatest hindrance. The devil can only do what we allow him to do. He needs our cooperation to get anything done through our life. The devil needs our cooperation. Our greatest hindrance in life is this outer shell that the Bible refers to as the outer man, and it consists of our soul, which is our emotions, our will, our personality. That's this outer man. And then the outer man, that's the outer man. Then the outer man, we could say, is our body, our physical bodies, our natural mind. And so this is all a part of that shell that the inner man, the spirit man, full of the life of God, has to break through in order to be able to produce God-sized results in our life, God-sized blessings in our life. He's got to get through that outer man. So we got to learn how to get that outer man out of the way. We got to get the outer man out of the way so that the inner man can rise up full of the life of Jesus and think through our thoughts, speak through our lips, love through us, live through us. And man, that's an exciting life when God's living through you. When God's living through you. And that's what we're looking for. So, but notice here in 2 Corinthians 4, in verse 16, it says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day." Notice that. We do not lose heart, even though the outward man, there's an outward man, is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. And then if you go over to Romans chapter 7. In verse 22, he says, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." The inward man. That, again, is talking about the spirit man. Now, the world is more conscious of the outer man and the outer man. They're more conscious of the soul, the mind, the will, the personality. They're more conscious of the physical man. And most people don't really understand or know anything about the inner man. And yet the inner man is the most important part of who we are. That's the eternal part of us. That's our spirit now that we've been born again, the spirit that's been recreated in the likeness of God. That's the real you. You are a spirit. So we want that inner man. We want to be more conscious of that inner man. We don't want to be flesh ruled. We don't want to be just be all conscious of the outer man and cater to the outer man. We want to find out more about the inner man. We want to become more in touch with the inner man, which is getting more in touch with ourselves, which is getting more in touch with God, because that's where God is. He is in our inner man. Look what Jesus said over in John, the 12th chapter. In verse 24, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone," isolated, we could say. "But if it dies, it produces much grain." So notice that. A grain of wheat, unless it falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Now, Jesus here is, number one, referring to himself. He's talking about himself. He knows that he himself needs to die, and that through his death, lots of people are going to be made alive. People are going to be born again. You and I are born again. You and I have been made spiritually alive through the death of Jesus. Jesus' death has produced an abundance of life in a lot of people, in an abundance of people's lives. So we know, number one, he's talking about that. But that's not all he's talking about. He's talking about you as a seed also. You say, how do you know? Look at the next verse. Next verse. He who loves his life. Now he's talking about he who. He's not just talking about himself. He says, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So notice, he's just not talking about himself. He's talking about losing your life in this world. Let's look at it again, verse 25. He who loves his life. Now this isn't talking about the God kind of life. This isn't talking about eternal life. This is referring to that soul life, that self life, the life of self, or the life of the soul, the life of the outer man. That's what Jesus is talking about here. And he says, he who loves his life, we can say he who loves his life, his soul life, his life in this world more than eternal life, which isn't just life in heaven, as a lot of people think. People think eternal life means that means living in heaven. No, eternal life is unceasing. Eternal is unceasing, and the life there is the God kind of life. It's absolute fullness of life. All right? So he who loves his soul life more than eternal life, which is God's life, the God kind of life, which we can have in this life, in this world, because that life is in us, that life is in you, right? That life of God is in us. And knowing that God's life is in us should just get us so excited about living that life. Say, God's life's in me. Yeah, and so if we believe it, we should be excited about living that life. Not just living the old life of the outer man, that soul life, that selfish life. We want to live the God kind of life, which is a love life, a life of love, a life of goodness. It's a great life because God is great. So that's the life you and I want to live. So he says, he who loves his life will lose it. And he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Notice that. Hates his life in this world. Now you connect that to the previous verse. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies. Lest a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies. What's the part of that grain of wheat that needs to die? It's the outer shell. That outer shell has to die. And in the same way, our outer shell has to die. What does that look like? Hating your life in this world. Hating that selfish, self-centered, prideful, all about me, independent of God kind of life. You got to hate that life. If you don't, you abide alone, or the life of God that is in you abides alone. The spirit man that's in you abides alone. He remains isolated and encased in the outer man. Even though he has the potential of God-sized results through his life, it all remains alone and isolated and unproductive on the inside if the outer shell does not die. If In other words, we don't cease loving the outer life. The soul life. The life independent of God. Because think about it. Most people in the world have not been born again. They have not received eternal life. They haven't received unceasing, absolute fullness of life. They have not received the life of God into their spirit. And yet, they're living. They're living. That's the way I lived for a long time before I found the Lord, before I got what we call saved, before I got born again. That's how I live. And you live. You live. You do your thing. You get up and you dream your dreams and you decide what you want to do today and you go out there and you decide what you're going to make happen. And you live your life by your ability, by your strength. See, that's that soul life. But now that we've got the life of God in us, we need to despise, even hate that old life. Hallelujah. Hate that old life. I don't want to do anything, in other words, independent of the life of God. I want God to think through my thoughts, speak through my lips, live his life through me. I don't want to go out and do my own thing anymore. I want God to do his thing through me. Now, you got to want that so bad that the very thought of not having that, you detest. You despise. You hate that life apart from God. You hate living that soul kind of life because you love living the God kind of life so much. And it's when you hate that life that something begins to crack. Things begin to crack. I'm talking about the shell. I'm talking about the breaking of the outer man. That outer shell begins to break. And when that begins to break, the potential of God that's in there can begin now to work its way out. So we want that outer man to be broken. And so one of the ways to do that, number one, is we've got to hate our lives apart from him. Hate living life independently of God. We got to hate that life. That's all a part of that outer man dying. We just don't let the thing do its own thing anymore. We don't let the outer man do his own thing anymore. For the inner life to come forth, it is imperative that the outer life be lost. Isn't that what Jesus said? You got to lose it. You got to lose that life. How many want their outer life to be lost? Say, we got to want that outer life to be lost. That's when we find that inner life. And how do we get that outer life to be lost? Well, number one, again, despise it. Number two, get lost in God. Get lost in his presence. See, going back to Joshua 1:8, meditating in the word day and night, getting ourselves filled up with God, getting lost in him, getting, in other words, more conscious of him. So we become more conscious of him and begin to lose sight of ourselves. Be more conscious of him. Again, in everything in life, we're asking the question, what does God's word say about this? You know, there was those bands people we used to wear a long time ago, WWJD. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, what does the word say? What does the word say? Now, the outer man, he doesn't care what the word says. He's got a lot of opinions about a lot of things. So, you know, a lot of people go through a lot of things in life and they look and say, well, you know what I think about it? Let me tell you how I feel about it. Well, I'll tell you what I believe about it. That's nice. What is that? That is an outer unbroken shell talking. That's what that is. That's an outer shell shooting its mouth off. That's an outer shell expressing itself. I'll tell you what I think about it. Let me tell you how I feel about it. I just. What does the word say about it? See, let's get lost in what the word says about it. Let's not just get lost in our opinions. Let's not just get lost in our feelings. Come on. We're talking about breaking through the outer man. How do we do that? Don't love your opinion so much. Don't love your opinion so much. Don't love your feelings so much. Don't think so much about yourself. Think more about him. What does the word say about it? What does God say about it? What would Jesus do? What would God do in this situation? What does his word say? Because the word reveals the will of God. It reveals exactly what God would do. It reveals to us what Jesus would do. Amen. Get lost in the word. What does the word say about it? But you see, the more we yield ourselves to our opinions and speak our feelings and speak our mind. A lot of folks in the world, they think that's really good too. They think that's therapy. You have to let it all out. You have to speak your feelings. You have to speak your feelings. You got to express your emotions. It's very important you do that. If you're angry, don't hold that in. It's very dangerous to hold in your anger. It's very important you let that all out. It's very important that you vent. I remember I saw a thing years ago, and it was a marriage counseling session, and they had married couples in the room, and they handed them all foam bats. They handed them all foam bats, and they said, "Now, you know, you've been holding things in, and you know this. You're really not going to be able to hurt the person with the foam bat, so." Just let your feelings go. Release that. Release those emotions. Release all that hatred, all those feelings. You'll feel a lot better. And so they started just slapping each other with the bats. I guarantee you that did not work well. I can't even imagine if I slapped my wife with a foam bat. It just would not be good. And they're bopping each other with the foam bats. My Bible says, a fool vents all his feelings, but a wise man holds them back. Now, that's what the Bible says. That's what God says, and he knows a little bit more than a lot of therapists that are in the world today. Can I get an amen? Amen. I have nothing against therapists. Just make sure the therapist is thoroughly built on the Word of God. He speaks, so he's going to bring you back to the Word. That's where the therapy needs to be. What does God say about it? Because God's way is the way to life. See? So, but all this venting it, losing it. Expressing your feelings, expressing your anger, expressing your emotions, expressing your opinion, just losing it when things go wrong is a great way to just keep the life of God locked up on the inside. So another key to losing that outer man, causing that outward man to die, to cause you to lose your life according to the flesh, is by not losing it when things go wrong. When things go wrong. When things go wrong, don't lose it. Turn it over to the Lord. Trust him. You know, strife is just two people having a panic attack. It's all it is. Two or more people. You know, people just having a panic attack. That's all it is. The only reason why you would enter into strife is because you're having a panic attack and you're trying to save your life. You're trying to rescue yourself. You're trying to deliver yourself. And as long as you're trying to deliver yourself, as long as you're trying to save yourself, the outer man stays very much strong and intact. We want to weaken the outer man. I said, we want to weaken the outer man and cause the outer man to break. And sometimes the best way to weaken the outer man is to put him in some humid situations. Put him in some humid situation. Put him in some dark places where he just feels like the circumstances of life are just burying him. I mean, it's dark down. You think about a seed, you put it down there, it's dark down there. The weight of the earth is pressing down upon that seed. There's pressure. It's uncomfortable. Friends, sometimes that's the best place for you to be, because it's in that place that you can begin to break out with the faith of God and the life of God and say, I believe God that he's going to bring me through this. But a lot of times people are in that place panicking, and they're trying to save themselves, and they're trying to dig their way out of the soil. And that's what you see a lot of times. You see a lot of Christians, they come to church, it's like they got dirt all over them. And I'm like, Pastor, I made it through the week. I made it out of those circumstances. And I want to say to them, why did you do that? Why didn't you just stay in there and trust God? Why didn't you just believe God to break you out of that? To break you out of that. To break you out of that situation. Because he wants to break you out by breaking that outer man. How's that outer man going to break? The life of God rising up in you through those tough circumstances will cause you to be able to come forth and shine in life. But if you panic and you become introverted and into yourself and you begin to try to deliver yourself, you try to get yourself out of that situation, the longer you actually keep yourself in negative situations, it's you trying to save your life. And he says, if you try to save it, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. But if you'll lose it, if you'll let it die, if you'll allow it to get broken off of you by trusting God to bring you through and bless you through you, then you'll find life. Then you'll live. Then you'll enjoy the eternal life that God has placed inside you. But this is where, you know, people panic. People are trying to save themselves. They're trying to deliver themselves. And it's all because they're very protective of that outer man. People are very protective of their outer life. And they're so protective of it that they're suppressing. They're silencing. They're concealing God's life that is on the inside of them. We don't want to be so protective of our outer life. Some people are so touchy. Folks fret and murmur over the smallest losses in life. Something doesn't go their way, and they get all upset. And here comes the negative attitude. Here comes the negative attitude. Here comes all the despair, all the hopelessness. All these things begin to come through their life. Because why? Because they love their outer life so much. And we've got to learn to love the inner life, where the life of God is, more than the outer life. So that when things are difficult and tough on the outer life, it's okay. Because we're more conscious and concerned about the inner life. We're more concerned about what's going on in us than what's going on around us. And if we had become more concerned of what's going on in us than what's going on around us, you'd be amazed at how what's in us would rise up and change what's going on around us. But what's in us cannot rise up and change what's going on all around us because we're so concerned about what's going on all around us. We love that outer life more than we do the inner life. And thus, the inner life remains dormant and the outer life remains fully intact, concealing who we are supposed to be, who we've been created to be. We've got to fall to the ground and die. The outer man has to die. We can't allow ourselves to be contained and hidden any longer. Can you say amen? So we can't be so protective. We can't be so worried about the outer life. We have to look at everything in life as to how is this affecting me inwardly? How is this affecting my spirit? That's what we got to be doing. How is this affecting my spirit? Not how it's affecting my emotions. That's the soul. Not how this is affecting my feelings, emotionally or physically. It's uncomfortable. I don't like this. Something has to change. Because if you're so concerned about the outer man, you're going to end up doing something to try to deliver yourself. And you're going to try to force something to take place in your life. And you're going to miss God. You're going to miss the life of God being able to rise up and do something great through you. So we got to look at everything that's going on in life. We got to look at it and say, how is this affecting me? I've had people come to me and say, hey, is the church growing? I say, I don't know, but I know I am. Because I'm more conscious of that. I'm more conscious of what's going on in me than what's going on around me. What are circumstances doing to me? They're pressing. They're pushing. They're allowing me to wait on God, trust God, believe God for a breakthrough. And what's that doing? That's changing me. That's growing me up on the inside. That's causing my inner man to get stronger and stronger and stronger. So if the inner man is being renewed day by day by day, I'm getting better on the inside. Yeah. Are you getting better on the inside? See, a lot of folks are depressed. A lot of folks keep falling in depression. Their emotions are going up and down because they're constantly judging themselves based on what's going on around them. Well, this hasn't changed for me yet. I haven't seen this breakthrough. I haven't seen this breakthrough come yet. I haven't seen this. I haven't seen that happen yet in my life. And they're just so conscious of outward things that it's causing them to constantly fall into depression, into despair. They're frustrated. They're not happy. They're not joyful. And we got to learn to enjoy the tough times. We got to learn to enjoy the soil being heaped up on top of us. We got to learn to enjoy the humidity. It's sticky. It's sticky in here. This doesn't feel good. Don't feel good to the flesh. Don't feel good to the outer man. But it's all working a good thing in my life. And that's what we need to be conscious of. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Somebody say, I'm coming out. By the grace and ability of God. I'm coming out. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again. But let's look at verse 17 this time. For a light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now, if you had a business, and it was a successful business, you know, you'd want to have a lot of employees, right? How many people would want a lot of employees, a big business, a lot of employees? Because a lot of employees mean there's a lot of profit. A lot of good things are going on, isn't that right? In other words, you want a lot of folks working for you. How many people would like to have a lot of folks working for you, you know? Well, spiritually, look at this. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Affliction can be working for you. Now, how many people want a lot of affliction? You want a lot of employees, don't you? You want a lot of people working for you? Well, praise God, sign up more affliction. Get affliction to, praise God, to clock in every day. It's getting quiet. I understand. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Now, this is a man speaking by the Spirit of God, and he understands the heart of God. And so that's why he's calling his afflictions light, even though the man has experienced probably more affliction than all of us put together. Been in prison, has been beaten, shipwrecked, almost drowned at sea. I mean, stoned to death. They had to raise him from the dead. I mean, the man has gone through trial after trial, affliction after affliction after affliction, and he turns around and says, our light affliction. Light. Light affliction. Why is it light? Because he makes light of the outer man. He makes light of his circumstances. And emphasizes what's going on inwardly, what's happening on the inside of him. And if you can become more conscious of what's going on the inside of you, you would get so excited. If you understood what was happening in you, you would get so excited that you just would not care so much about outward things. You just wouldn't care so much. Because you recognize this great thing that is happening on the inside of you. And you know that if what's on the inside of you continues to happen, you are going to see the breakthroughs of God. You're going to see the glory of God. You're going to see this life of God manifest through your life. Circumstances are going to change. A lot of folks get well, I've heard that before, and I've heard that things are going to change, but they still have it. They still have it. And they just focus in on the outer man and what has happened and what hasn't happened. And as a result of that, nothing is happening. Nothing is happening in their inner man. So we need to get excited, become more conscious of what's going on the inside of us, and realize that this light affliction, what we're going through outwardly, is just for a moment. It's not forever. I tell you right now, anything you're going through right now, it's not forever. Things change. Things change. I had a guy, and this has happened more than one time, I had a guy call me up, he was devastated. His wife told him, it's over, she's leaving. She's leaving, it's over. And he's emotionally, he's distraught, he's a mess. And he said, she's leaving, it's over, this is it. I said, calm down, calm down. I said, these things are temporary. I said, people get on roller coaster rides, don't jump on the roller coaster with them. Just watch them as they scream and yell and carry on. I hate you. I'm going to leave you. And then what's going to happen? It's going to come all full circle. There they are. Now, see what's going to happen. If you get on the roller coaster with them, and they go, Pastor, she's going to leave me. You're going to be a mess too. I said, just wait till the ride is over. It's just for a moment. I said, it'll all change, praise God. I said, you're dealing with a woman. No, I didn't. Just teasing, ladies. You know, a couple days later, he told me, hey, I said, how are things going? He goes, everything's great. Everything's great. She loves me. It's God. I said, praise God. But you see, they probably would end up getting a divorce if he got on the roller coaster ride with her. See? Because then they would have taken out the boppers, see? The foam boppers. And they would have started getting into it. It would just, and they, people just, people just, People just tear themselves apart, man. Just tear it apart. Just tear the thing apart. Fighting, trying to save their life. They're panicking. You know, it's kind of like the guy out there that's drowning, and the lifeguard jumps in to go rescue him. Sometimes lifeguards, they'll go out there and they'll wait for you until you can't kick and scream and yell anymore, because they know if they grab you at that point, that person's going to panic and pull them underwater with them. So sometimes you have to wait until the person just wears themselves out. Ah! Ah! Help! Ah! Ah! Okay, come on. See, you have to wait until they die before you can save their life. Right? They have to die. When are you going to die? When are you going to stop panicking? How long is it going to take? Is it going to take another 20 years of just trying? When do you finally wear yourself out enough to realize you can't do it? Quit. When do you hit that point? Everybody hits that point at different points. Some people never hit the point. But you want to hit that. You want to come to that place where you recognize, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm not even going to try. And just sit there and let the Holy Spirit just take you and just bring you to it. Bring you through it. Are you with me? That was a lifeguard. If you didn't know that was a lifeguard pulling the victim through the water. You see, they start fighting with each other. It's like, let the person act ugly. That's okay. That's a lot of humidity in the house. Charlie is acting crazy. He keeps putting the thermostat up. It's 90 degrees in here, Pastor. I think if it goes up one more degree. I can't handle one more degree. Just let it. Come on, try. You're trusting God. Now, I don't think anybody should be in an abusive situation. I'm not condoning that anybody should stay in an abusive relationship or anything like that. But I'm not really talking about it. I'm talking about just people being in uncomfortable situations and thinking, I'm going to die. It wouldn't be a bad thing for the flesh to die. And just let the love of God dominate you. Isn't that a great place to be? Where the love of God dominates you. And the world doesn't move you anymore. Because your shell's been thoroughly cracked. Your shell has been cracked and it's broken. And now everything that comes at you that's negative is just met with the life of Jesus. It's just met with the faith of God. It's just met with the ability of God. It's just met with the grace of God. And God just deals with the situation and subdues the situation and transforms the situation. That's a great place to be. Let God break through. Let God break through. Let God do it. I'm not going to fight anymore. I'm not going to struggle anymore. I'm not going to worry anymore. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not worried about my life. I'm not going to lose it over my life. I'm just not going to worry about it. I'm going to sing it as well. In the face of the hordes of hell. Amen. Hallelujah. Just stay in the grace of God. Stay in the peace of God. Trust Him. He'll bring you through. Do you believe He will? You think He's going to leave you and forsake you? No. If you trust Him, He will come through for you. He will bring you through. He will bring you through by coming through you and changing your situation. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me. I did not say that uncomfortable situations are pleasant. No, they're uncomfortable. Uncomfortable is uncomfortable. unpleasant situations, they're unpleasant. But that's okay. Focus in on the inner man. Don't just focus in on believing God for the outward to change. Focus in on the inward man being transformed and rising up and breaking through and changing the situation. Focus in on what's going on the inside of you. Not with what's going on around you and what you're going without on the outside. Hallelujah. That's when we'll see things come to pass faster in our life. We'll see more of the goodness of God manifest in our life a whole lot faster when we focus on the inside, on the inside. Is anything good happening in you? Are you getting better or are you just getting more bitter? I mean, circumstances, they could do one of two things. They can make you better spiritually or make you bitter in the soul. I want to get better. So use those circumstances to exercise the life of God and trust Him. Say, Lord, I trust You. I trust You. I'm not going to defend myself in this situation. I'm not going to try to save myself in this situation. I'm looking to You. I know that You're with me. You'll never leave me or forsake me. You are my joy. You are my peace. You are my confidence. You're my strength. You're my hope. I've got a hope. I've got a future. Praise God in You. I'm not going to worry about my life. I thank You so much that You're rising up in me and You're taking care of this situation. Oh, huh? And see, then a clear mind comes and you respond to things in the love of God. And it's amazing how things will get subdued so much quicker when God does it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, let's thank Him again. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. Thank You. Thank You.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.